What up, y'all? It's Kane and Aiden Pod back with another episode 13 coming at you. Aiden, how you feeling?
I'm doing good today, Kane. How you doing?
Feeling pretty good, pretty good.
So today we're joined by a special guest, my father, Joshua Lee Church.
What's up, everyone?
There he is, man. So how you feeling today, Dad?
I'm feeling good. Feeling real good.
So his full name?
Full name. Full government name, man. Put him out there.
We're going to be asking him some questions and just getting to know each other. So, yeah, Aiden's dad, my uncle. So, first question is, like, you've seen everything that we've made, me and Aiden, every single thing, you know, all of our content that, like, failed. So, what are your thoughts on this podcast and what we're doing here, and how is it kind of different from what we've done in the past?
I think this podcast is more – it's just more dynamic because you guys are hitting a – deeper range of topics. You know, of course, y'all started with the passion for basketball that you connected on, and even prior to that, you guys were making weird videos outside doing crazy stuff and with high-pitched chipmunk voices. But but this podcast is like more well-rounded. We're getting to see like you guys basically growing up and just being more diverse in your thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I wish we could drop some of our old videos.
I know. It's pretty bad. We talk about in the future, like reacting to our old videos on here or on YouTube or anything like that. But I don't know, I'm not really ready for that because we watch them sometimes together, but it's kind of embarrassing though. Because we have some bad takes, man, on some sports stuff.
You gotta face the truth, man.
Yeah. But our second question is gonna be is, do you think that it's fair to say that you have always pushed us to make content and like kind of just take our talents to the next level?
Yeah, I mean I try to. I really want you guys to come into your own, and so just through, you know, I'm the type of person throughout, if I think you're interested in it, I'll try to connect you with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, you know, even when Aiden was little, he wanted to play the drums, so I get the drums. You know, he wants to do jujitsu, put him in jujitsu. You want to DJ, I get the DJ equipment. You know, just whatever, because the thing about it is that you have to be exposed to a variety of experiences to really start to hone in to see what you even like. You know, it's kind of dumb for people, I think, to predict, you know, what they're going to do or what they enjoy. It's more of like an experience, and you have to go through some experimentation. So I've always enjoyed watching you guys do that. And yeah, I've always been very supportive of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I can agree. And I think too, that's, you know, like just you pushing us and like everyone else pushing us. It's part of the reason that why we're like doing this right now is because, like, you know, people have always told us, like, make something, create content. And so we've just been, you know, going and creating stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing we want to talk to you about is your job. So tell us a little bit about your job for the people that don't know and kind of what you do.
Well, right now, my current position, I'm called the restorative practice coordinator or specialist. And basically my job right now is I'm a community builder on campus and help people find solutions by talking about things before it leads to physical conflict. And in addition to that, you know, I also kind of create a safe space where students can come in and even staff could come in where I can do, you know, practice more of my counseling skills. I also hold meditation sessions 5 days a week for students to come in and practice self-regulation.
Mm-hmm.
But my job duty is supposed to also be a lot working with adults, but I really spend most of my time working with kids.
Do you like, you know, like connecting with high schoolers? Like, what is it that you kind of like about that?
Yeah, I taught junior high for 9 years. And so once I got to high school, I was like, why did I spend 9 years in junior high? but at the same, I mean, not to take anything away from my junior high, middle school kids, because I love all those kids more than anything. But once I got to high school, it was just able to have deeper conversations. You know, people are getting older, so they're starting to come up with their own ideas and their own thoughts, and they're not just regurgitating the things that they hear.
Mm-hmm.
A lot more independent thinking. And I enjoy working with high schoolers. There's just kids are smart, man. They're super smart. You just never know what you're gonna learn from them, to be honest. So
actually, I have one little question kind of off topic, but do you think like parents now are like more soft on their kids than they were like back in the day, kind of?
That's a good question.
I mean, it is. I don't know if it's so much that parents are just so much that are that they're just softer than they were from a prior generation. I think what's happened over time is that kids have been allowed to have more voice. Mm-hmm. And anytime kids are allowed to have more voice, there's going to be more discussion. There's going to be more compromise. And it's not just going to be do this because I said so. Mm-hmm. But there is a place for do this because I said so as well. So, I mean, I guess to answer the question, are parents more soft today on their kids than they used to be? I mean, I guess I have to say yes, but I don't necessarily want to say that like it's a bad thing.
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, that's kind of like that reminded me when you were answering that, reminded me of what Pastor Max was talking about when we asked him, like, if our generation was getting further or closer to Jesus, was that like kids are like our generation now is like more curious and like, you know, stuff like that than ever. And they're always, you know, going further and further and just, you know, different stuff like that. I feel like this generation is a lot more, you know, a lot more motivated and a lot more like willing to see where they can go kind of thing. So that kind of leads into the next question is, do you think that the school system, the way it's constructed, actually benefits students and actually, you know, set them up for success in the future?
I think the current design of the school system is primarily set up for a certain type of student to be successful. So my answer would be no. I don't think it's set up for everybody to experience success. You know, the current system is built on an industrial mindset. You know, back in the day, you had to find out who you had to have had all these factory jobs during the Industrial Revolution. So you need people to get out and go and work in the factories. So if you think about it, a school system is set up much like a factory. It's on a time schedule. The most important point that you have in common with other people is age. It's not even your intellect. And it's about sending kids through in batches, like they're on an assembly line. Mm. And then at the end of it, issuing them a diploma. And then they, you know, and in the Industrial Revolution, that worked because that's what you needed, people to go into factories. But that's not where we are now. We're in a totally different place. And in my opinion, the education system is very behind.
Mm. So what are some, like, how do you think that it can improve type of thing?
I think that classes are too long. I think that the curriculum is too extensive. And I also think that kids, you know, education needs to be condensed down to what's beneficial for a kid. I mean, we all know that basic math skills are necessary. You know, we all know that people really need to have financial literacy, which they don't even focus on in school, which is astonishing to me. You know, sometimes you might have it as an elective or whatever, but it's not pushed as something that, you know, is an integral part of like a person's development, managing money, right? Understanding how money really works. Mm-hmm. But just like narrowing it down and really finding out what is useful to that individual, you know, hitting the baseline classes, you know, your basic math, you know, reading and all that kind of stuff, because we all need that. But stop mounting up all of the work to a point where it just becomes like this burden, and it's not really a well-rounded learning experience. Mm. So your question was how to change it to make it better, or what do I think?
Yeah, like, did you say? What are some ways you think that they can make it better?
So I think some ways they can make it better is make it much more flexible. Don't make it so rigid. Go based on mastery of content rather than on scope and sequence, where everybody has to wait for everyone else to catch up. Like, we can all move at different paces and we can all learn in different ways. And then let's spend way less time doing activities that are not engaging. Like, let's get people engaged in the things they enjoy. You know, if somebody enjoys DJing, then during their school day, they should be spending time doing DJing at some point. You know, let's get away from just all the traditional ways of doing things, because they don't really serve everybody's needs. Not everybody wants to play football. Some people want to be in band and play an instrument, but they don't want to march on the field. Well, you can't be in band unless you march on the field. So that's the way that we're going to get to it. Because at this point, as Ken Robinson said, Sir Ken Robinson, you guys should check him out. You know, he asked the question, are schools killing creativity? And the answer is yes.
Yes, no, that's good. So, no, I can agree with that, because I feel like I feel like a lot of times my motivation to do class is just so I can like get that piece of paper and leave high school. Like, I feel like I really don't have, I'm not like, oh, I'm going to go to this math class because I can use these skills. It's like, I'm going to go to this math class so I can get this piece of paper and move on. So, no, that's good. Definitely. Aiden, do you have any comments on that, thoughts?
I definitely agree with that. I don't really go to class looking forward to learning something new. Kind of just looking forward to getting out of there, basically. You know what I'm saying? Nice. Have the best time you can while you're there and kind of just, like you say, get that piece of paper, move on with your life. Pretty much really it. But that kind of leads to our next question. Oh, sorry about that. Do you think that there's a right way to navigate through high school, which is like, you know, like dual credit, AP classes? Do you think it's like a really like a right way to go through it?
I think that I don't know if there's a right way to get through high school. I think once again, it kind of challenges that factory mindset again. The factory mindset says there is a right way to get through high school, and this is what you do. High school kind of has this in game of everybody's going to go to college, but in reality, most people don't go to college. I don't think. I mean, if you really look at it, like when out of an entire graduating class, how many of them are going to college? So, you know, I think that there is no one way to navigate high school. I think it's really based on who the person is and what it is that they enjoy, you know, which I know they've tried to infuse more trades into the school, like welding and you know, agriculture and all that stuff is great and fantastic. And they should always, I mean, we should continue moving in that direction. But that's not the norm, though. The norm is still like, you know, you're going to need, you know, 26 credits, and you're going to need, you know, 4 math, 4 English, 4 science, 4 history, and, you know, PE, fine arts, 7 electives, right? So if you ask me, is there a path to navigating it? Yeah, the way it's set up now, you have to literally fill in the blanks of the graduation requirements for the state of Texas. Mm-hmm. So in that part of it, yeah, there is a way. You get in there, you do what you got to do to earn the credits. If you want to go to college, dual credit are good classes to take. Maybe you take some AP classes and save some money if you're going to college. I know that's what my oldest son did. You know, he's basically started college as a sophomore. So that was a great path for him. But for a kid who's not going to go to college, that may not be the best path. You know, it may be better for them to get into welding or cosmetology or some other trade that they enjoy. Mm.
I have a question too. This is kind of about me, but it wasn't on my list. I was just curious when I was talking, do you think, when you were talking, I was just curious because by now everyone knows about my job and what I do, but like, we're also talking about how, you know, it's not really setting kids up for like what they actually want to do. How much, if you could say, I mean, this is a tough question, but how much of my job, like me getting my job, me being good at my job, do you think was actually contributed to school versus how much was like me applying myself outside of school?
I mean, I know you're asking me the question, but ultimately that's something you can only answer, but I'm going to answer it from my perspective, to the best of my ability. And I would say that your time with Aiden and your passion for sports was actually more of a factor in your success at your end. It's an internship, right? An internship you're in, basically. Yeah. I would say those things were bigger factors in your success than probably, you know, being in English. Maybe in English, yeah, you developed your writing skills and all that kind of
thing. Yeah, that's
what I was thinking, but just going through your core curriculum, you know, like, you know, taking, you know, biology or, you know, chemistry or, you know, it's, you know, it's U.S. history or whatever, that really didn't serve you in this job function. What really served you was, what really pushed you forward was your passion and all the stuff you did outside of school to get yourself there. But see, that goes back to my original statement. If this is something that you're passionate about, then why haven't you been able to do it the whole time you've been going through school? Why does it have to be something you only do outside of school? Why can't it be something you do in both places?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, that's good. That's why I was asking, just because the writing aspect, I feel like I brought some of that from school, but probably not a lot. So kind of relating to it would be, our next question is, what advice do you have for a senior that's about to graduate high school? First, well, since you've been talking about college, first for someone that wants to go to college and then for someone that doesn't.
Advice for somebody who wants to go to college, I would say, you know, you really need to know the difference between a public and a private university, because the cost is substantially different. You also need to, you know the difference in like tuition prices of going in state and out of state. And especially, you know, especially if you're somebody who's going to be, you know, 18 and you're going to be leaving your parents' house for the first time, you know, just trying to get yourself prepared for that type of life, because there's a big difference. You know, you've been with your parents your whole life, then all of a sudden now you're going to be living on a campus. There's going to be a lot going on. You're going to have to acclimate to a whole new environment. You know, so, and hopefully if you are a senior who's off on your way to college, you've maybe had a job at some point in time, so you've learned some of those soft skills and the things that it takes, like, you know, hearing your alarm go off in the morning and not wanting to go to work, because everybody experiences that. So for the college bound kid, you know, those are some of the most important things. You know, make sure you're filling out your FAFSA and all that kind of stuff, seeing what kind of financial aid you can get, filling out as many scholarships as you can to get as much money as you can. For the person who's not going to college, it's kind of this same thing, as far as, you know, just being prepared to be, you know, being self-motivated to live a new life. You know, what's that going to look like? You can't keep doing the same thing you were doing. You're not just going to work like a, you know, average amount of hours, come home, play video games, sit on your bed, right? Like you got to get up and, you know, you got to figure some things out. And it's okay if it takes a while. I think everybody gets in a rush a lot, you know, like a rush to figure things out. It's okay if it takes time to figure things out, but as long as you're doing something to move forward, you know, like that's my favorite quote from Walt Disney, you know, keep moving forward. It's kind of like me and my brother in the cartoon that we've been creating. We've been doing that for years. And so, but the motto is you just keep moving forward. You just don't stop, you know, because every little bit that you do is adding to it. And I think the advice for a person not going to college is the same for a person that goes to college. It's just that you're throwing college into the mix. Because at the same time, dude, I went to college, but I didn't end up doing what my degree said. Because while I was in college, it took me getting all the way through college, coming out, getting a degree in IT to realize I didn't want to work with computers because I hated it. I was a people person.
And that's why I have to help with computers now.
So here's the question. Why didn't school help me realize that? Why didn't my high school experience help me realize my skills?
Because I never really pursued it or touched to pursue them.
Yeah. I mean, you know, because I didn't have a chance to. I never had a chance to, because I was too bogged down telling people about John Coffey Hayes. Do you know who John Coffey Hayes is?
No.
You know why? You know why? Do you know why you don't know who that is? Because it doesn't matter. So why are we learning it?
That's a good point.
Why is it on the star test?
His name was Davy Crockett. I don't know.
Davy Crockett.
Davy Crockett did? You probably do.
I do, because I taught Texas history.
Yeah, but Davy Crockett because of his hat. I don't really know Davy. Davy Crockett because the Alamo, and he had a raccoon for a hat. Yeah, that's all I know.
Martin and I were sitting in San Antonio one time at the Alamo, and I was getting ready to start teaching Texas history, and she was like asking me a question, and I completely got it wrong. We were at the Alamo, and she's like, "You're going to be teaching Texas history like next month."
that is a good point. Why are we learning about Davy Crockett? So Aiden,
I'll tell you guys this just real quick. Like when I was a teacher, and this is what I think about all teaching. Teaching should all be concept based. It shouldn't be rote memorization based. And I'll give you an example of that. Like if we want to, let's say we want to study the concept or the genocide, right? So we can look up genocide. We can see what it means. We can look at the root word. Geno is a gene, right? Genes, like human. Side, when you look up side, you see like something that gets killed. Homicide, suicide. You see what I'm saying? Pesticide kills bugs. So you take a kid and you say, okay, what is genocide? You pick it apart. And now you give them three different opportunities to learn it. So maybe you start with the genocide of the Native Americans in the establishment of this country. And then maybe next you give them an example of the Jewish people and the genocide of the Holocaust. And then you take them to more modern and you say, okay, let's look at a current event. And you look at like the genocide in like Darfur, Africa. And then by the time it's all done, a kid just didn't memorize what genocide was and who all was involved in it. They actually got to look at it in three different time periods and pick it apart.
And talk
about it too. This is not the teacher standing up just lecturing blah, 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 like Charlie Brown. This is like, we're going to talk about it. We're going to get in a circle. We're going to hear your opinion. and we're going to practice social skills, make sure we're listening and paying attention and really like learning empathy and learning how to analyze and engage in the Socratic process.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
No, that's good. One thing I like that you said was memorize, because I feel like so many times, like they'll teach us all this crap and then I have it remembered and I know how to do it. And then when the test is over, I just forget all that crap. Cause it's like, why do I need to know it? Like, I feel like a lot of, yeah. I feel like school is like a memorization game to a certain extent.
It kind of reminds me of seventh grade Texas history. Learn about like, the cattle drives. Like, why do we have to learn about cows walking across fields? And yeah. Like, really, like cows walking across a field? Like, that's what we learned about, bro. We spent a whole unit talking about cows getting milked and walking across 100 miles. Like,
I mean, you know, the thing about it is you can cover things. You don't have to spend you don't have to spend so much time on it. That kind of goes back to what I was saying earlier. Like, we're wasting too much time. We're wasting too much time. Kids are bored to death. And they honestly they don't even believe in the power of a high school diploma anymore, you know. And a lot of things have caused them to challenge that. Everything from people making money on YouTube through gaming through cryptocurrency, you know. I'm not talking about legal means, but like, you know what I'm saying though. Like, I mean, illegal means have always been there, but like kids don't believe it all the way anymore. They don't believe that a high school diploma has as much value as it used to. And honestly, they're not completely wrong.
Yeah.
You know, and I know that sounds weird coming from somebody who works in education. I personally believe in the power of a high school diploma. I know even the data shows us like you earn more money if you have a high school diploma. That like everything in the data shows us that that's a better option. But like kids aren't looking at data. They're thinking about today, you know, and any adult who's listening right now. So were you. You were thinking about today. You weren't thinking about, you know, what's going to happen 4 years from now.
The thing about, oh, I want to skip this class right now.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't lie. School is just pretty boring. Cause like a lot of time I kind of just like I go to use a restroom, but I just kind of like take it as a chance to get out the classroom at this point. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. But you know what though? Hey, you guys know what the difference is though, in all of it, no matter what, I don't care what generation you're in. I don't care what the situation is. There's one factor that makes the difference in a class, and it's the teacher. That's it. Mm-hmm. The teacher, if you have a teacher that's passionate, that cares about you, that doesn't see you as just a number in a grade book or a paycheck in their bank account, and they actually care about you as a person, and they want to know about you and they ask about you and they know little things about you, like your favorite ice cream and what you think they remember things you told them a month ago. That's what happens, because this is that's what gets kids wanting to be somewhere. Right. That's what helps them push through the boring parts, too, because they're like, you know what? I'm kind of bored, but I really like Mr. Church. You know, I asked a kid one day the other day who came in because they had been abusing my pass for meditation. They were caught out in the hall skipping. Right. And so the student came in and sat down, and I said, I didn't even say anything to the student. And the student was just looking at me like nervous, really nervous. And I was like, well, you know why I have you in here? Well, I was in the hallway. I said, okay, well, what happened? Well, I wasn't skipping, you know. I said, yeah, because I consider that to be, you know, just really disrespectful to me. Oh no, I would never disrespect you, Mr. Church. And I said, but you know why? I asked her this question. I said, is it better to be feared or loved? And I asked you guys the same question. Is it better to be feared or loved? Which one?
I don't even know. It's
kind of
like,
it doesn't matter. Just pick one.
Kind of on the spot.
I'm asking y'all a question.
What type of fear?
Doesn't matter. Is it better to be feared or loved?
I would say, I'm going with love.
Okay, what you got?
I say love too.
Okay, and so your gut tells you it's loved, but the answer really is fear, and this is why. It's not fear in an authoritarian way, like I'm going to hurt you. It's the fear of disappointing the people you care about.
Mm-hmm.
You see, there's power in that, because I can still love you. I can still love you. But if you're scared to disappoint me because of that love, that's more powerful than just love or fear alone.
Mm. Damn. Honestly, yeah. Shout out my friend for being the inspiration of that.
Yeah, she wasn't the inspiration for that.
Yeah, no, I'm just playing. I know she's the one, probably one of the most recent cases.
That question actually comes from an ancient book.
No, I'm not saying that specific
question. No. I know what you're talking about. She definitely did inspire that.
Shout out, man. Shout out.
So Aiden your one of the good questions that you put on here was a decent question that was, do you think that schools should allow students to have mental health days? That's a good question. It's a hot topic right now.
Yeah, I would say that not necessarily a mental health day. I would say that every day at a school, kids should have access to mental health opportunities and services. Mm-hmm. So we don't want to relegate it to a day. We don't want to go, because mental health is not a day thing. Mental health is a lifelong struggle. Mm-hmm. Like me, I suffer from anxiety. My anxiety is always going to be with me. Now, is my anxiety going to be at a 1 or is it going to be at a 10? Because if it's at a 10, then I can't function well, right? Mm-hmm. But if it's at a 1 or 2, it's manageable and it's not impacting my life to a point where, you know, I can't be successful and be there for not only the people I love, but also myself and my students and everyone else. You know, so the mental health day thing, I don't like it because I don't want it to just be like, okay, I think it narrows down the focus of what mental health really is. What needs to happen is within that time where I talk about shifting the school system, we should have equal amounts of time, academic work, personal interest, like what I was talking about earlier, right? Like with you and like you guys, like if you were doing like podcasts, whatever, you should be able to do that, work on it at school. And then social emotional learning and mental health. That's how school should be broken down. It should be broken down into thirds. A third of your day should be spent in each of those areas.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of podcasting at school, so actually, in one of my classes, a sports marketing class, we actually have to have our own podcast for that class. And I don't like doing it, bro. It's weird. Not having my co-host, not playing, my co-star.
But do you get to do it the way you want to do it?
Kind of, but not really, because of one of my partners. I'm not saying names, but yeah, it's rough with him on there, bro.
Yeah.
He made some comments the other day. Oh my gosh. It's like, he said some racist stuff on there. And I was just
Did
like,
he really?
Yeah. We're talking about the World Cup, and it was getting hectic out there, man. I was like, oh, I felt nervous about turning that assignment in.
You know what though, man? When people get on a mic and they get nervous, the truth comes out.
Yeah, pretty much.
Wait, but do you think it's at all possible, like, if this, you know, if what you're saying, like, we work on a podcast at school, like, do you think I'm sure it'd be a good idea, but like, do you think it would be possible for like school to collaborate with other schools on this so that like I could work with Aiden even though we don't go to the same school type of thing?
Yeah, I think that should definitely happen. I think that, and this kind of goes back to the school system being narrow, and I'm going to give you guys another example because I think this is something that's always frustrated me. So if I work at a school, right, and schools are always located in neighborhoods, right? And the neighborhoods are generally filled with the kids that are going to the school because boundary lines are what determine, like, you know, what school you go to. So if we have a school full of young minds, we have access to new ideas, we have CTC centers that have woodworking and welding and all these kinds of things. My question is this: why would anybody that lives in our school zone have a fence that's falling apart? Why would any, you know, the elderly, we start with the elderly. Why would any elderly person who lives in our school zone, in our area, not be able to use the resources of the young people to be able to live a better life? You know, why do we have old women living in houses by themselves that are falling down around them when we have all of these people and resources? It makes no sense to me. We should be using our schools to better the community around us. We should be using every school should have a greenhouse. Every school, you know, you talk about learning, right? You guys don't like sit there. You don't like to sit there and listen to people talk all day, right? Well, what if this was it? You get like real projects. Well, Miss So-and-so down the street, her gate doesn't work and she's got some fence pieces that need to be fixed. And you have to take it and use your math skills to figure out what it's going to take and create the budget and the cost and things like that. And then you actually repair it. And that's where you get your grade from.
Mm.
You know,
that
actually, what's wrong with that?
No, that's cool. You know? I would definitely take that over doing notes for the 100th time.
I would do that.
Well, you're going to learn more. You're going to learn more from it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? No, that's good. No, it kind of reminds me of like, I was thinking about this, but it's relevant to this episode. Cause like what I'm doing right now is like, I'm a beat reporter for the Rangers and I write articles and stuff. I started doing Spartan Spotlight, the school newscast where I've been the sports reporter. I was asking my AB teacher, I was like, So does the school have like kids that write articles like the games and stuff like that? He was like, no. Like, so why? Like, that's a good question. Like, why do I have to start at Major League Baseball instead of my own high school? That is a good question. I never really thought about it in that context.
Yeah, you literally just proved the point we were making earlier. Because if you hadn't had this experience with the Rangers and you're about to graduate, right? Mm-hmm. Then outside of what you've done with Aiden, you would not have really developed the skills that you need to do that job, to do that job you're doing right now coming out of high school.
Yeah.
High school would have not have given you that. Maybe, yeah, the journaling, the writing part, you know, journalism part, yes.
I think so far high school has really only showed me what I don't want to do, I feel like.
But that's important. I think it's more important to figure out what you don't want to do than what you do want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. You know?
No, all I really know is I don't want to be an accountant. That's really...
Boy, yeah. I couldn't do that. I took accounting one and two because I had a business degree for my first degree. And I was just like, why am I here?
I can't do math. It's just too organized. And
why am I doing this?
Math is just too much, man.
So
I did pass my test today. Shout me out for that one. You know what I'm saying?
So talk to me about
75, man. It's passing.
75.
It's passing. Talking about
like connecting with students. How do you get students to like trust you and, you know, tell them things about their personal lives?
It's real simple, man. They have to feel valued, seen, and heard. And the only way that they do that is by, it all comes down to me. They have to know that I'm not judging them. I have to face them with an open posture, what I call shoulders, nose, and toes, which is a basic counseling skill. And guess what I don't do? And this is the biggest thing, man. This is the biggest thing. And I don't know why it's so hard for adults to do this, but I tell every single student, I don't have the answers to your problems. That's the very first thing I tell them. I am not, you know, because adults have somehow convinced kids that they are the omnipotent authority figures that can have the answers to everything in life. And that's a heavy burden for adults. And it's a heavy burden for teachers, you know? So when a kid comes to me, number one, they know they're not going to be judged. I'm going to make them feel valued, seen, and heard. I'm going to reflect back what they're saying. I'm not going to tell them how to live their life. I'm not going to tell them the solution. I'm just going to listen to them, and I'm going to reflect back what they're telling me. And I promise you, at some point in time, they're going to reach a level of insight, and they're actually going to say the answer out loud to themselves. And then I'm just going to point it out to them, like, look, it sounds like you just answered the question. And they're like, oh, yeah, I guess I did. Well, cool. And that, you know, and I always tell them too, man, I always tell them like, I probably learn more from you guys than you learn from me when I talk to you.
Mm-hmm. Now that is a good point. Cause like thinking about it, I don't know how many times I've ever heard an adult say that they don't have the answer to my problem. Like, yeah. It's not a lot. I don't know about you, Aiden, but I feel like most adults.
No, I've never heard it before. Maybe from him, but he don't work on me, man.
Yeah, nah, they call that dual relationship, man, in counseling. It is. It's what it's called.
Conflict,
but you know, but this is another thing too, bro. And you really have to think about this. In my career, I've mostly worked with students who don't look like me. I've mostly worked with African American students, Hispanic students, Asian students. You know. I work with a lot of LGBTQ students. I work with a lot of kids that don't look like me and don't have a lifestyle like mine in a lot of ways. So the bread and butter of what I just told you opens the door to every single conversation, regardless of the cultural implications.
Mm, that's good. Mm. So last thing, kind of ended off here.
Oh, no.
This is a tough one, man. This is a tough one. But
what you got,
it could be about anything. If you had one piece of advice for me and Aiden, what would it be?
My one piece of advice for you guys is the same piece of advice that I would give to anybody your age, or really any human that's walking this planet, no matter what their age. And that is, you have to be true to your organic self. You cannot be what you think you're supposed to be or what others tell you that you're supposed to be. As his father, as Aiden's dad, I don't want to tell him what I think he should be. That's not my choice, you know? So you guys have to be true to your organic self, whatever, you know. And I tell students all the time, I'm like, tell me your birthday. When were you born? And then they tell me their birthday. And I said, on that day when you were born, you were already perfect. There was nothing that needed to be fixed. There was nothing that was broken, right? You came into this world and you were perfect. You were perfect. You're a perfect you. And then as we get so-called educated, right, we start to move further away from our organic self. And what happens is we start to criticize ourselves. You know, we start to weigh ourselves against other people, and then that makes us feel inferior, you know? And so we start to try to live up to expectations of other people and unreasonable expectations that we have for ourselves, when all we really have to do is just stick to our core. So my advice for you two is to stick to your core and stick to your organic self, and don't let nothing stop you. And don't let anybody, and I even told Aiden this one time, I said, don't ever let anybody tell you can't do something, even me, period.
That's good.
Man. I'll use that against you in the future.
So anyways, guys, good stuff here as always. We're going to have some cool guests coming on in the future. Aiden, what were your thoughts?
Well, you know, we're going to have some cool guests on in the future. We had to get him out the way first. But
I didn't even know what this interview was about, bro. Y'all, he brought me in here cold.
We don't share questions.
We don't share, man. You know how me and him are.
Hey, it's all good, man. This is my job, bro. All day long, I got people coming into me, and I don't even know what I'm dealing with. So
me and Kane work best spontaneous, I've noticed, to be honest.
Spontaneity is that's where it's at, bro.
Speaking of spontaneous, you guys should go check out our TikTok, because our last TikTok, I'm blanking out right now. We did a little game review.
Yeah.
And the reason I mentioned that, because being spontaneous, is because we're just walking around. We're at Half Price Books. I don't know how we ended up at Half Price Books, but we see that game there, and I'm like, oh, it's supposed to be the worst basketball game of all time. And then Cam was like, oh, let's get it. Fun. And just like that,
it's like a dollar.
A TikTok was made with $5, man.
$5.
Had to break the bank for the TikTok, man. You know what I'm saying?
y'all overpaid for that.
I know. Well, I heard on YouTube, man, the best way to, you know, invest money in what you do, man, invest in your craft. So, you know what I'm saying? Got to do what we got to do.
So here we are. And the game is. Game went pretty good, not gonna lie, but
okay. So wait. So what year was the NBA? What was the game?
NBA Live 14. Yeah. So not 2K. This is like the worst version of 2K in 2014.
Okay, so NBA Live 14. So let's ask this question: will NBA Live 14 give you the skills necessary to be successful in 2K 2023?
No, but
and that, my friend, answers the question of education.
Well, at least now I know that Greg. Now I know that Greg Oden was on the Heat back in 2014. At least I know that now. You know what I'm saying? I can use that nowhere.
Now you have rope. That's just an example of rope memorization.
Video games have correlations,
and that's as valuable as the cattle lesson from seventh grade history.
Yep.
Probably.
Yep, but this is the final question. Who is John Coffee Hayes?
I have no idea who that is.
Drop I've this, never heard of
it. Has no idea who that is.
Here, I'll answer again. You know why you don't know? Because it doesn't matter.
There you go, guys. That's going to do it for us. And this is the Kane and Aiden Pod. Signing off.